Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
First of all, Ralph, thanks so much for having me today. My name is Scott Bachrach, and I'm the CEO and founder of a company called Tastemakers, which our primary brand is a brand called Arcade 1UP. I'm seeing all these people, you know, filing in as you were showing before. And so for me, this is a real pleasure just to be able to have the opportunity to hear and see actually all these faces from all over the world that are interested in arcades and have the opportunity to speak to them. I think the question on the table was how we got started. Was that it?
Yes. How you got started in this, like, where did it come? Where did the idea come from? And we can play the video whenever you want.
Sure. Well, you know what? Maybe we should play the video first, if that's okay. I think that that'll kind of set the tone, and then I can give kind of some background to it. Does that make sense?
You got it. I will start it right now. So this is a little bit about Arcade 1UP and the work that Scott does.
This past year, Arcade 1UP leveled up, way up. From the Ellen DeGeneres Show to the Hard Rock Stadium, we've been on the cutting edge of at-home retro gaming and entertainment. So, let's take a look back to see how 2021 turned out to be our best year yet. We kicked off the year crushing CES, where we announced the upcoming releases of X-Men, Dragon's Lair, and Killer Instinct. And you better believe we were just getting started. After CES, the media couldn't get enough of us. Wired, Forbes, Hypebeast, Variety all fell in love with our products. Then we had to show up and show out for the fans. Our community had been requesting and expecting new titles all year, so we gave them exactly what they were asking for. As the gaming world and global media convened at E3, we relaunched Arcade1UP.com and announced some highly anticipated fan favorites, like The Simpsons, Turtles in Time, and Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga Class of 81, to name a few. And that's when our social media went insane with audience growth and increased engagement on all platforms, leading to even more media coverage. Then this past summer, we brought families together to play again, like they did back in the day, with the introduction of the Infinity Game Table and Arcade 1UP Jr., expanding our audience to include multi-generational and non-traditional gamers. The wide-ranging selection of games on the Infinity Game Table offers a little something for everyone. And when it was released exclusively with Best Buy, it got rave reviews from buyers and multiple media outlets. The fun continued as we announced the Ultimate Fall lineup during New York Comic Con, and we launched our first DTC exclusive Black Friday bundle for kids and kids at heart, featuring the classic retro games Pac-Man and Pac-Man Jr. Then Arcade 1UP's Jr. got its moment of fame on the Ellen and Kelly Clarkson shows and got in the hands of family influencers just in time for the holidays. In fact, we were featured across daytime TV, from Access Daily to Wendy Williams to The View, all highlighting our products as the perfect gifts for gamers of all ages. And we haven't slowed down a bit. In collaboration with Schofield, we opened our first temporary brick-and-mortar retail experience in New York City and Miami. Speaking of Miami, we relocated our headquarters to the Magic City, where we formed strategic partnership with our hometown team, the Miami Dolphins, to build the first-ever arcade inside an NFL stadium. And you know what they say, game recognized game. So we stopped by the Sports Illustrated Awards ceremony at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, where we sponsored the Gamer of the Year Award, presented by Chad Ochocinco Johnson to Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that led to a live NBA Jam face-off between Chad Ochocinco Johnson and DJ Khaled. Because, of course, Khaled would never play himself. All said and done, we headed into 2022 with some really unbelievable achievements. We launched nearly 60 new products and introduced 2 new categories and sold 3 million machines. Let's pause a second there. 3 million machines in just 3 years, and we have our best sellers to thank for that. Our direct-to-consumer channel achieved a stunning 220% year-over-year growth in sales in just 6 months. And we continue to expand our global footprint as we aligned with our first distribution partners in Italy and Japan. Plus, we secured 30 new titles through our current world-class licensors while developing new agreements with Studio Canal, Microsoft, Digital Leisure, and Spin Master, none of which would be possible without our people carrying the Arcade 1UP flag in more than 6 countries across the globe. All of that led to an incredible 79% growth year-over-year in top-line revenue company-wide, making 2021 Arcade 1UP's ultimate high score. So, what's next for America's favorite gaming company? The best is yet to come.
That is absolutely astonishing. That is awesome. So do you mind if, because I've already gotten inundated with a bunch of questions. Do you mind if I let the kids ask some questions?
Anything you want, let them roll in.
All right. So Jorge, he is in Spain. Jorge, you should be able to unmute to ask your question. You had a pretty good question for Scott, and we're just going to fire some questions at you and go from there. Is that cool?
All right. So when did you think about the idea of create a toys company?
First of all, hello, Jorge from Spain. One of the few places I haven't been to, but I've been dying to go to. And I have a good distribution partner in Spain, or had one many years ago for our toy line. So love it. So I got into the toy business almost by mistake. I was about 18 years old, just out of high school. I apologize, getting calls coming through. 18 years old, just fresh out of high school. And I had somebody that I knew that was in the toy business, and I started working for them at a young age. And then I worked for a few companies, and I started my first business when I was about 25 years old. And just, for some scale, I'm 54 today. So a long time ago.
Well, you know, you've certainly made a huge splash. And guys, you don't have to put your hands up in the meeting. You can just put your questions in the chat. So I am going to go ahead and let Guillermo. Guillermo emailed me this question a little bit ago. Guillermo, he is also in Europe. Guillermo, go ahead and unmute. You had a pretty good question for Scott.
How's the day in your life?
I'm sorry, Guillermo, could you say that again?
So what's a day, what is it like, a day in your life?
Oh, a day in my life. Oh, boy. I guess it depends on who you ask. But if you're asking me, Guillermo, so just so you know, I'm talking to you now from Miami. I'm in my home today. I'm working out of my home. But today my days are much different than what they used to be. But a day in the life of myself. So I, you're going to understand why it ties back to business. I wake up fairly early. I'm typically a guy who wakes up between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. I've always been that way for a lot of reasons. I try to spend a little time meditating. I work out. So I get my brain and my mind kind of in the right gear. I head into my office a couple of days a week where I have product development teams and we meet and collaborate on projects. I'll check in throughout the day with 4 to 5 key managers in different departments of our company. And then I try to make sure I'm back home by about 5 o'clock, and I check in with the family in a variety of ways. And, I used to be on the phone many, many hours with Hong Kong every night in China. I don't do that anymore. And I try to pretty much end my evenings by about 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Now, you started this from a very, very small company to probably the biggest gaming arcade company in the world has ever seen. And in a very short amount of time. I mean, granted, it was long. So when did you have that inception where you're like, I think I got a really good idea to make a third of the size arcade and push it out at a normal price point for regular consumers?
It's a great, great question. So like I said, I got involved in the toy business when I was young. I was 18, 19 years old. And when I started my first business, I was 25. And at about 27, this seed of an idea actually came, you know, what was happening. I had this idea literally as early as then. I owned a business for many years, and what we did is you probably bought a lot of our products. If you ever bought one of those little small keychains that went onto people's backpacks, it was probably one of ours. The company name was Fun for All. We also manufactured plush toys like television shows from South Park to Teletubbies. And throughout that process, we were going and we were meeting with companies like Hasbro, which is a major toy company in the world, and Mattel, and going to them and saying, hey, let us make smaller versions of what you do. And so that seed actually got planted 28, 29 years old. At the time, Hasbro owned a company called, I forget the name right now, but out of that, they were managing the Atari brand. It's a long way to get there. And so we had this idea. The idea was forgotten about, like everything else in life. We just got busy with things. And then we forwarded to 2017. And here's where it happened. In 2017, our business was a small business. We were doing $10 to $20 million a year. And there were eight people in the company. And we were sitting, going through product ideas. And somebody showed me a small little Pac-Man machine about this big for $25. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. Let me play it. And I played it, and it didn't give me the feeling as I remembered playing an arcade machine. And let me say, I wasn't the gamer. I was just a kid that liked arcade machines, but it didn't give me that same feeling. And so then I went to a retail store later that day called Urban Outfitters. That's here in the United States, for those of you that know it. And they were selling what they called a plug and play, which was an old console about this big that you plugged into your television set and allowed you to play games with a controller. And I think it was like $80 or $90. So I took that home that night and I played with that. And that same thing, I just didn't give me an experience. So I came to my office the next day and I said to the guys, why doesn't it feel like I remember when I used to play arcade games? And I hadn't played an arcade machine in years. And they said, well, let me show you. Let's walk over to the pizza parlor. And we walked down a block away. I'm going to get to the end of this. It's a good story. I walked down to the pizza parlor and I put a quarter into the whatever machine was. I think it was Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man. And I played it. And they said, well, the reason that it's so different, Scott, is your controller is a real controller. But most importantly, the game is not based on anything but a real arcade type of game, the way it's processing. And I said, my answer was, oh, why don't we just take that thing I bought for $80 and put it in a box a little bit smaller that looks like an arcade? And that was the seed of the idea. That was in June of 2017. We had never made an arcade machine. We made a lot of plush toys and keychains, but nothing like this. We didn't own any of the licenses, although licensing had been in my background for many, many years. And we said to ourselves, if we sold 10,000 pieces worldwide, that we would have considered this to be a success. And what I can tell you is that by starting that in June, July of 2017, by October 2018, so a year later, we had shipped almost $100 million of product, which was about 400,000 pieces into the marketplace. And that's how it started.
Just talk about a tidal wave. It's just an absolute tsunami. And the one thing that sets apart where you guys have is that, and I know we have young gamers on here. Thumbs up if you guys play video games. Anybody? We got a few. So I know that what's one of the things that have in common with new games and old games is the ability or the wanting to have that high score and to have that high score safe and to keep competing to try and get up that leaderboard. And that's one thing that your machine has that your competitors do not have, because none of your other competitors have a save feature, which is, it's absolutely mind blowing that you guys have pretty much cornered a market and took advantage of it. So sorry, I'm nerding out, but we got Carla. Go ahead. You had a few awesome questions. Go ahead and ask one of your questions for Scott.
Okay. If you could start again, knowing what you have learned, what would you do different?
Oh, in my life, in the arcade?
And work, as far as being a CEO and a founder and all that.
but the CEO is a founder in overall. I'll tell you what I would do differently. And I understand that there's a variety of people here in terms of ages. I think it's from about 8 to 18, if I understand it. I would first off, and I'm not saying it just because it's here. This is really, I would study more in school. I would have gotten a better education. What I mean by that is I would have taken school more seriously because I think that the fundamentals that that you can learn in school go beyond just the information that you're receiving. It's the way to interact and deal and have deadlines and things like that. And I really mean that foundationally. What would I have done differently? I might have actually gone into a business that there was a need, not a want. See, what I've learned in business as a CEO and as a founder is that you're offering, when you go into business, right, you're either solving for a problem, hopefully, and that problem is either something that somebody needs. We all need water. We all need food. We need clothing, right? Or it's a want. We want an arcade machine, or we want an iPhone, or we want a skateboard. And I think if I would have had to do it differently at a younger age, I would have spent more time, which goes back to school, actually, understanding the world. And from that, looking at it to say, what does the world really need? And that might have taken me in a different direction. Now, having said that, there's an amazing speech that's out there on the internet from Steve Jobs. And I highly suggest that all of you watch it. It was his commencement speech of 2010 or 11. And I'll paraphrase what he says. And that is that whatever direction you go in, you have to trust your gut. You have to trust that the dots will connect. And if I look at my life and I move backwards, I can understand now how when I was 18 years old and I was, working in a factory closing boxes to when I was 30 years old going and making little keychains to where I'm now 54 and sitting in my home and making an arcade machine. I can see how those dots connected. And I can also tell you, I'm sure it'll come up in a later question, I've learned a lot more from mistakes than I have from success.
And it just, I don't know, it's just so incredible that you're able to connect with these kids. I have a few kids that asked me this question and they wanted to know, what characteristics and what traits would you say are most important as the leader of such a successful company?
Humility. I think you have to show humility and recognize that just because, I'll keep it in the eye. I'm the CEO. And if you look at organizational charts, the way they're normally done, you'll see the CEO sits on top. And someone told me a long time ago, in a business, if you really flip that upside down, the CEO is at the bottom. It's everybody else who's doing all the work. It's really leveling you up, no pun intended. So I would say having humility to realize that. I would also say, and this is where it's very difficult, you have to have conviction. I can't tell you how many times when this idea came out, and just for the record, I took this to many large companies because I thought it was bigger than what we could do. And I tried to explain to them how successful that I felt that this would be. And they all turned me down. That's the truth. They all turned me down. And so you have to really believe in anything you do, because as the leader, your team is going to look at you. And as soon as you lose your belief in the message that you're trying to carry out, your team will follow suit. So be mindful of how you communicate. Be mindful of understanding that understand your team's goals. Make sure that individually your business is helping them achieve their goals, because their goals may not be the same as yours, and oftentimes they're not. And if you can find a way to achieve your mission statement by also helping others achieve their goals, I think you'll have a very successful company. And the last thing I'll say is that, we've come in the world to define success about how much money we make in the business world. And I don't know that that's 100% true. We have to make money. We're a company. We've sold a piece of our business to a private equity organization, so we're accountable to other people now. But real success, in my opinion, is when someone takes my product and they send me a note and they say, I had a Thanksgiving holiday and I hadn't spoken to my uncle in 5 years and he was at the house and we both got to talk together because we were playing Pac-Man and we remember the time we played Pac-Man when we were 12 and 13. And our company likes to make money, but believe it or not, that's actually that I define that as part of success, and I define the economic benefits that come from it are directly derived from meeting that term of success that I have, which is satisfied customers.
And there's tons of satisfied customers. I know a lot of people who have your machines. I have your machines. And it's just this thing where, yes, people connect on that level, even if they don't speak the same language. And you truly took something and followed your passion. And you're describing a situation where you're persevering through that adversity of people telling you no, but you in your heart believe there's something here. We have a question from Nathan, and I've actually gotten Nathan's question probably about 15 times in the chat from the kids for you. Nathan, go ahead and ask.
Hi, hello. I just want to know, what is your favorite creations?
Nathan, I'm sorry, my favorite what?
What is your favorite creations?
My favorite creation?
Yeah.
Within this company or outside this company?
This company.
Okay. Within this company, we've made a lot of things. I'm 54 years old. I remember Pac-Man growing up. I'd have to say that this is my favorite creation. It's been a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, I have two children. I have one that is 8 years old. So he may be some beer. I also have another one that's 22. And what's interesting to me is when they both come home and we're all sitting here, we literally can all play Pac-Man and we all love it. And it's something that we can actually talk about together and have fun. And, you know, both of my younger children are able to play video games. They're fantastic. I have to tell you, I can't play it. You know, it's too intimidating for me. And so to have something that's simple and fun, that has withstood the test of time, and for us as a company to be able to be part of that, that's been my favorite creation.
And how do you guys, I want to ask this myself, how do you guys keep your price points so low? Whereas your competitors, the price points are just almost, literally some of your competitors are seven times the amount of what your units cost.
Yeah, so that's all, you know, it's a great question. I appreciate it, Ralph. So when arcade machines were made, as you might remember, I'm going to do a visual if that's okay. When arcade machines were made, you'll have to excuse my shorts because I'm working from home. I'm this tall, you can see this. They were this tall, they were about a foot higher. And they weighed about 350 pounds. And they sold for $3,000 to $4,000. And they would make machines for being at retail places, you know, pizza parlors and things like that. And so the way that these were made, they were all made mostly in the United States. And even the ones that were made overseas were made in small production runs. What we do is we take the expertise that we've had over the last 30 years, which is manufacturing in very big runs. And so we get economies of scale. The first thing is that if you open up one of our machines, or Ralph will tell you because he's put them together, you'll see that there's not a lot there. There's no more wires. There's no more big TVs. Everything is small and condensed. But primarily the way we're able to do it is by the volume that we produce. We have several factories overseas. We have a full-time office that's overseas that watches over quality production and things like that. Oh, I probably should have said the business in the last 4 years has grown from about 8 of us to about 100 of us right now worldwide. And that's the short answer. The short answer is nobody does the type of volume that we do. And the reason for that, in my opinion at least, is because we have the brands that everybody else wants. And, you know, most people have six, if they like arcades, they have 6 to 7 arcade games that they really like. And if you can bring them, you know, one or two of those six that they love at a reasonable price, and do it in a way where they can find it. We think that that's been the success, but volume is the short answer.
That's, yeah, you guys definitely have the volume, because I've seen your products at Walmart, Best Buy, I mean, everywhere. And so we have one kid, they wanted to know, this comes from Eastern Europe, and they wanted to know, is there a game that you guys have not made that you would eventually like to make? And if you cannot answer it, we totally understand.
Yes is the answer. Yes, you will see it soon. No, I cannot tell you what that is.
I figured with product development and everything, but hey, he tried. I will tell you.
I'll give you a hint, and you'll figure it out on your own. If you look at our company, we've really followed, and this is another piece of advice I would give to people if you're making things. You know, we're original in bringing this out like this, but we weren't original in making arcades. And my experience is that most things in life are like that, right? If you look at a car today that's electric is very different than the first cars of, I should know the year, but I'm going to say 1906 or 8, 1918, whatever it was, for the Ford cars. They're very, very different. But they're really the same. They're a box that allows you to have a transportation. And at the core of it, it's really the same thing. So why do I bring all that up? On two fronts, this is going to be a double answer. The first answer is that if you want to find success, look at people who've had it before, and how have they done it? What did they do? Right? And how can you now do your version of that? How can you make it yours? So that's overall. As it relates to the game and your question about the game, if you look at all the games, we started bringing out the games that first came out. Atari, Galaga, Pac-Man. If you've seen lately, then we went out with NBA Jam, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Simpsons. We just announced and we launched about 45 days ago, NFL Blitz, which is in the marketplace right now in America. And so what are all those things? If you look back in history at arcade machines, you'll see it started in 1978 and we're up into about the 2000s right now. And so as you start to see where it's going to start to swing, you could probably imagine which games you'll start to see in our platforms.
Yeah, I'm sure they can Google it and figure it out. I kind of have an idea of where it's going, but you guys can figure that out. We have a question from Claudia, and I believe she has someone else there with her. Claudia, you should be able to unmute to ask. You had a pretty good question for our guest.
We have a question, okay. What are your goals for 2023 with your job or company?
What are my goals for 2023 with the company? So our goals, that's a great question. Our goals for 2023 are as follows. We want to make sure that we are the leader in home entertainment of arcade machines and continue to be. We want to make a better product. Ralph mentioned High Score. It's funny, on the original machines that we made, only some of them had high scores. And when we first came out with them, we didn't have the ability to have high scores on anything other than that machine, meaning that there was no there's no leaderboards. And so we are bringing out a new version of Arcade 1-Up, of that Pac-Man machine, actually, that's right behind me, and all of the machines in 2023. And I think it's the best version so far. I think that you'll see it'll be changes on it. So we're trying to make a better product at a more competitive price. We're even actually trying to bring the price down more and deliver our products to more people around the world, which hopefully puts a lot of smiles on people's faces.
Yeah, and one thing that I like about the stuff that you guys developed is that your competitors, they cram like 4,500 games into one unit, and none of them save, and the unit weighs 280 pounds, and there's no competition. Like, there's synchronous if you want to play each other live, but there's no asynchronous because there's no high score. So you have to like screenshot it or physically write it down somewhere. And to where you hardly even play that thing. You play arcade one-up games all day because you're trying to beat that high score. And it's cool. See, my son is young as 11 and myself and my wife competing against each other on Miss Pac-Man. So
do you beat him, Ralph?
No. Galaga. Galaga. I'm pretty good at Galaga. 152,000 rolling in around there. Pretty all good. Right. I see you guys have leaderboards at 999,000, which is a little intimidating. So we have Luis, you had an awesome question. I believe you're in France. Go ahead and unmute to ask, my friend. We can hear you. Do you have your question? All right. You good? Yep.
How did you get into video games, and what was your favorite, all-time favorite video game?
I'm going to take the second question first. My all-time favorite video game, can I have two? Can I get two?
Yeah.
I would say my all-time two favorite video games were Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. They're my favorites. And how we got into this, I explained a little bit before, but it was really by mistake. That's the truth. I was in the toy business for many, many years. And we use the word white space. We saw people making arcade machines at, toys for $25. And we saw people making them for $3,000 or $4,000. And there was nothing in between. And we called that the white space. And that's how we decided to go into it. And from there, by getting into it and having the consumer like the product, it just started to find momentum. And it actually, we like to say it was the product that became a line that became a category, and a category that became a business.
Yeah, and you definitely found a niche, and there was a need and a want for it. As far as in the gaming, there was a need in the gaming world.
Yeah.
So we have a question from Mael. And Mael, go ahead and unmute to ask your question for Scott.
Okay. What advice would you give to a teenager who would like to open a business?
I would tell you to first day in school and finish school. I would say to you that it's great. I would tell you to do it early. While you're in school, if you're in school, start working if you have extra time. And I would also tell you that you have to have passion and dedication. When you start a business and you define what you're going to do, it's you. I think I said it before, you have to carry out that passion. And just remember that everybody around you is going to feed off of your passion. So I would say first, write a business plan. Don't think you know what your numbers are. Don't think you know how to operate a business. The best part about the best part about when I wrote a business plan, which I never wanted to do, was I learned more about my own business, right? Because I saw it in black and white. So write that business plan. Take it to people, see what they think about it, and be willing to listen and take others' advice, but never lose your own conviction and your own gut. And realize as you go through your journey of starting a business that what you deem to be failures and mistakes, you will probably look back on one day and realize they were stepping stones of your success. So don't give up, no matter what. Do not give up.
Fantastic advice. We'll go with two more student questions. Is that okay? And then we'll let you go.
Sure.
All right. So this is Vivian. And Vivian, you should be able to unmute. I think Vivian is somewhere in Europe. Go ahead and ask.
Yes, I'm here. Hello. I wanted to ask how many people works for you and if you have any essential qualities to be a CEO.
We have about 100 people that work for the company right now. And I would say that essential qualities to being a CEO is to still remind yourself that you are teachable. And that, as I tell my 8-year-old son, is the same thing that I need to remind myself. And I'll relate it to sports because I'm assuming that there's a lot of people here on that like sports. If you liked Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or any of those other people, every day they trained. And they trained and they listened to a coach. And so I would say that be teachable, be trainable, and be open-minded.
Great advice. So we have our final student question, and this is from this is Anna. Anna, you should be able to unmute and ask Scott. All right, she might be having some microphone issues. We'll go back to Carla. Carla, go ahead and you can ask one of your other questions for Scott. You had quite a few good ones. Go ahead, pal.
Okay, what was the hardest challenge you had faced?
So as a CEO, what was the hardest challenge that you faced?
Oh boy, I've had a lot of them. Let me think about that. Okay. I would tell you that in 2014, our business was going through a recycling, meaning that we were slimming it down. There was only a few people. And those were very tough days, actually 2014-15. In 2015, we realized, or we believed, that the toy business that we were in was going to be too competitive for us. There were people that could do it better than us. And that what we needed to do was find something different, find almost a different industry, but that we could use our skill sets for. And at that time, we got down to, I think, maybe three people in the company. And ultimately what happened was we looked at this other industry that was growing much faster than the toy business was. And we made a pivot into that. And as you can see, it worked out. But those times were difficult. In 2015, there were many days, 2015, not too long ago. You know, that was 7 or 8 years ago. 7 years ago. There were many days I went home and I didn't know if we were going to be able to pay the people that worked for us. And that was challenging. It was very, very challenging, and I'll add on to that because I answered you too quickly. In my early career, in 2003, I think it was, I had a very successful business in the toy business, and we won all sorts of awards. And I was a young man; I was, you know, 30 years old, 1998, and we were doing great. And then a lot of things happened and the business went wrong. And that company I had to put into bankruptcy and close it. And that was difficult. It was very difficult. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that experience that was very difficult showed me humility and showed me how to work through difficult times. And so when those times happened again in 2014 and 15, and they will happen in business, I had an ability to remember those difficult times and how I got through them. And that carried me through more difficult times.
And you know, it all comes back to that humility and in persevering through that adversity. And you know in your heart what is going to be a success. And you didn't listen to any naysayers. So before we let you go, Scott, I kind of do this with all of our guests. And guys, we have a lot of wonderful guest speakers coming up next week. Go ahead and sign up for any and all. And Scott, before we let you go, is there any advice that you could give to these kids? I know you've given a lot of advice already, but any advice you've given to these kids as they kind of go out and pursue what they want with their lives?
Yeah. When you finish school and you go out, don't think that you have to know what you want to do. Be open. Go learn. You know, go experiment. Try a lot of things. Meet a lot of people, talk to a lot of people, right? There's not that many people that come out knowing everything that they want to do. And that's because you haven't had the opportunity to explore things. So explore a lot. Be kind to a lot of people and make the best use of your time, because I cannot tell you, I find it incredible to believe that I'm 54 years old today and I'm sitting here, because for a long time, I was the youngest guy in the room, and now I am the oldest. And your time goes very fast, so use it very wisely. Use your time very, very wisely, and be smart.
Thank you so much for the wonderful advice, and we'll be in touch. We'll be in touch about the other stuff we talked about. But before we let you go, I'm going to let everyone unmute to say thank you, and then I'll end the meeting for all. So can we all say thank you to Scott for spending time out of his very valuable day?
I love your video games.
Thank you.